Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday, and normally, as you guys know, we're having a lot of fun, and we will try to do that today, but we're also in the moment where we are remembering one of the all-time greats in Henry Aaron, and the Braves want to let you guys know that Truist Park will be open today until 6 p.m. and again tomorrow from 10 until 6 for folks who want to come into the park and see the Hank Aaron statue. Socially distanced, mask. So they're asking for more information. Go to braves.com/Hank. Also, the family, in lieu of flowers for Henry Aaron, okay, if you're wondering, they would like donations to be made to his beloved Chasing the Dream Foundation. It's Hank Aaron Chasing the Dream Foundation, 3466 Buffington Center, Atlanta, Georgia. I'll post this on social media as well. We'll put it on our site at Dukes and Bell 929 so people who want to know have the information. But, again, this is coming from the Braves. So Truist Park will be open today until 6, tomorrow 10 a.m. until 6 for folks who want to go and see the Henry Aaron statue. Mike, coming up, we're going to talk to another Brave great, and that is Andrew Jones. 3:40, he is set to join us. If you're just tuning in, Chipper Jones jumped on the show right at 2 o'clock today, and we had a great conversation with Chipper that you'll get a chance to hear again at 5:20. And Chipper was, you know, reminiscing about his time, talking about the size of the man. And you meet him, and you go, wow, this guy hit that many home runs. And then you shake his hand, and his hand just swallows you up.
It's like Dr. J. You know, when you shake Dr. J's hand, and like his fingers are coming up, it's over your elbow. You know what I mean? That's the way Hank was. And again, to be able to turn the bat as quickly as he did, you know, and just what a great athlete he was, too. You know, if you go back, and it's funny when you look at the stats and you think, like, you know, we're so used to, like, isn't it funny how we fall into, like, debunking steroid-era home runs?
Yes.
Right? And you go, 45, but, you know, but you look at it, it's like 57, you know, the year he's the MVP, 44, 63, 44, 66, 44. There's some 45s in there, too, and some 47s as late as 1971, 40 home runs in 1973. Was 39, you know. So I mean, as we said, you know, my buddy Maximum Bob was a huge baseball fan. It's been written before, but Bob texted me today. Says, "Yeah, you take away all of Hank's home runs, as we said to Chipper, and he still has 3,000 hits."
Yeah.
You know, so it's just amazing. I mean, it's just beyond iconic when you think about all the accomplishments.
All right, and we appreciate all the comments that are flying in too. Our poll question, and it's not even that; it's just you kind of sharing. If you have something to share. Is up and going at Dukes and Bell 929. What's your favorite memory of Henry Aaron, Hank Aaron, on or off the field? You mentioned the one gentleman who said his dad got tickets. Nicole just simply says, love and honor, dignity, pride, play ball. And you know, again, when you start to talk about what kind of man we were dealing with and what kind of man he was, that's right on point. So, Nicole, appreciate you sharing. Other folks sharing as well. So we'll read some of these throughout the course of the show as you guys hit us up. And I'll post that information that we just talked about at Truist Park. Coming up, Andrew Jones. You'll hear Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM, in 20 minutes as well. Chris is our engineer behind the glass. Bo Morgan, executive producer. Chris, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, well, we just said it. He's going to play. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Mike, now, I don't know if that changes anything. I do like the – call me crazy. I like the Bills to cover. I don't know if they're going to win this game. It's only three, right? And so you're saying, yeah, Dukes, you think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be – I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But now that Mahomes is playing, right. I think a lot of people are going to jump on that and say, yes, absolutely, Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl. You think this is going to be a blowout?
Well, as Sal Capaccio told us yesterday here, I mean, and I asked him, I said, are we going to see Brian Daboll like light it up and let it go? And he says, yeah. And I think two things to look for. You know, how does Mahomes look? Is he going to show the signs and the effects? Bryant McFadden talked about it. Guys, he said, you know, before they got really serious about concussions and the protocol, you know, guys, you knew you still weren't 100%. And we know that obviously in other eras of the NFL, guys played and were not even close. And they would not pass, you know, whatever the protocols were. And everyone kind of went wink, wink with Patrick Mahomes here because he's such a superstar. But they're saying that the independent medical expert, neurologist, said he's good to go. But I still think the Bills challenge him. Try to get him uncomfortable. And then how does Josh Allen handle it? If you've noticed, the end of the game last year against the Texans, he got a little tight. He got a little tight in the final series against the Colts. And can he overcome that? And that's something that we'll have to see Brian Daboll hopefully try to take some pressure off them. But their running game is nothing special in Buffalo either.
It isn't, Mike. They didn't run the ball well last week either. I mean,
so it really is. It's Josh Allen versus a more balanced team, although we'll get the update on Clyde Edwards-Helaire's status, but he was also banged up according to the KC paper.
All right, so lots of jobs being got in the NFL. Let's start with the Falcons. If you missed it yesterday, they hired their three coordinators, offensive coordinator Dave Ragone, Dean Pease is our defensive coordinator. I got all these names going through my mind. And then, obviously, we hired our special teams coordinator as well yesterday. Again, we have to keep saying this with the whole Ragone thing because guys hear that and they go, he's going to be calling the plays. No, he's not calling the plays. He will be a part of the offensive staff. Arthur Smith has already said he will call the plays, but also special teams coordinator Marquise Williams. So those are the three big hires yesterday for the Falcons. Around the NFL, Robert Saleh introduced himself to the New York media. Here's what he was talking about, Mike.
There's an investment that's going to be made to one another. Coaches to players, players to coaches, organization to everybody. But understanding that the all gas, no break mentality that we're going to have with how we wake up in the morning, how we're deliberate in everything we do will lead to the results that you'll see on Sunday. It will take time, but everything we do is going to be designed to win championships in the future.
Very Dan Quinnish. I'm very happy. If Arthur Smith does nothing else in his career, I like the way he handled his press conference compared. And there's nothing wrong with what Robert Saleh said. He's a high energy guy. He's a defensive coordinator. They're wired like that, Carl.
Yes,
but
they are.
I all gas, no brakes.
That's the new slogan.
I mean, some of the like nothing will everything pales in comparison to what Dan Campbell did in his Lions introductory press conference. You know, see your enemies driven before you, hear the lamentations of the women. You know, that's Conan the Barbarian. But yeah, I mean, Sal, I like Sal. He was one of those guys I was kind of curious if we'd kick the tires on because I thought I liked who he was bringing as his offensive coordinator. But like, if he can instill something with that organization, I think the problems with the Jets are above his pay grade.
I do too.
General manager and ownership.
I do too. And that's been their biggest issue, even with good coaching. I mean, so we wish him the best of luck. That was Robert Saleh. He is now the Jets head coach. Brandon Staley is the new head coach who, with the Chargers, he is a defensive background guy. Here's what he said about Justin Herbert.
I think you guys are probably all aware of the excitement about this guy and what he earned in his first year. And I think, you know, being able to play as well as he did through a global pandemic with no offseason, no training camp, and then for him to just, you know, emerge, you know, really a week before the season and take this league on the way he did, I think it just shows you what his makeup is.
Yeah, he's inheriting a hell of a team, Mike. I think their talent – remember, they were decimated by injuries on defense. I think talent-wise – they had a lot of talent on that football team. I'm talking about the Chargers, guys.
Right. And I know that some people are saying, who are these guys? You know, in this case, he's right there in L.A., so they don't have to pay for moving expenses. Carl.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, he's got to move down on one side of the, I guess, the SoFi Stadium to the other.
Yeah, but I think he's moving up in a different neighborhood now, Mike, with that salary bump.
He got it. And now we're waiting to see, will Eric Bieniemy get – isn't there more pressure on the Texans than ever that they've got to kind of hire Eric Bieniemy? I mean, if you don't, I mean, you know, regardless, and again, if you haven't had a chance to read the articles about all the stuff that's going on there, it's freaking bad. I don't think people realize, you think the NFL, it's like, you know, it's everybody's got, you know, it's very corporate mentality and everything's dialed in. there are so many dysfunctional franchises, and the Texans are like at the top of the list right there with the Jets.
Yeah, I was having a conversation today with somebody, and they said to me, so I'm going to repeat this so I can say this publicly. They said, would people be upset if the Texans hired Leslie Frazier? And the comment basically was, as long as they hire a black guy, are people going to be upset? It goes beyond that. And I just want to explain this for a second. Leslie Frazier's been around the league. He's been an interim head coach. He's been a coordinator. Mm-hmm. This is more about the 15 or 20 guys that are assistants right now who are working their way up in the NFL who will be Eric Bieniemy in a few years.
Right.
And then do everything Eric Bieniemy has done. And then to see him not get a job. So when they tell these assistant coaches to believe in the process and this is how you have to do it, but yet when they do it that way, nothing happens, how do you deal with that? So
right.
This is specifically about the hiring practices of a guy who said, hey, what do you need me to do? Okay, I'm going to do all those things, and then I'm not going to get hired. It's not about hiring a black guy. It's about the process in which they have to go through to get an opportunity for these jobs. Leslie Frazier's a hell of a coach. If he gets the job, that's fine. But it's not as if black people go, oh, okay, well, they hired a black guy. It's bigger than that.
Right. And again, the stuff, the information or disinformation or insulting information, whatever, however you want to quantify what's been said about the process, he didn't interview well. I mean, I'd love to see if anybody rolled tape on what Dan Campbell said to get the Lions job. Coach, how are you? What's your philosophy? Walking around with my shirt off. I mean, look.
He's a maniac.
As we said, I mean, and I know because there's guys out there, everybody's prisoner of the moment. You don't want to overreact. But when you hear a guy make a complete fool of himself like the Lions. Now, again, don't get me wrong. There's a portion of our audience that goes, yeah, that's awesome. I love when my coach sounds like he's doing a WWE promo. I mean, but to me, it's like, how did this guy get? Why again? But in bigger picture, this is why the Lions have never won anything.
No.
You know, the guys like Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson say, I mean, I should say, get me the hell out of here. You know what I mean? Guys who want to play for this franchise.
So yes, to your point about the Tech, is their hand going to be forced to hire? I don't know, Mike. Listen, Cal McNair is going to hire who he wants to hire. But with one job remaining and, like, they're holding out, you got to kind of believe they're waiting on somebody.
Well, this Jack Easterby story that, you know, SI did an in-depth on it about 10 days ago. He was the team chaplain for the Patriots, and he's kind of like a new age, kind of like Joel Osteen kind of thing for players to groove on. Guys that want that, some guys don't need that in their lives in football. But, you know, every team has a chaplain. And this guy's kind of positioned himself where he's, like, making and influencing people's decisions. Including who the GM was.
Yep.
Apparently, he was backing O'Brien because I think D. Hopkins thought this guy was full of crap, D. Hop. And then he basically tells Bill O'Brien, yeah, we can get rid of this guy. He's not a team player. He's the second best player on your team. But anyway, there's an article called The Most Interesting Man in the NFL, Jack Easterby. You can read it. It's pretty interesting. That just goes back, Carl, what I meant to the dysfunction of the Houston Texans.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. If you're just joining us, we will continue our conversation about Henry Aaron passing away today at the age of 86. As a matter of fact, we just found out 4 o'clock, Brian Jordan is going to join the show. Who also had a great relationship with Hank and you know, played for our Braves as well. So Brian Jordan at 4 o'clock. Let's talk about Tom Brady in this other game. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers in this other game. Either guy wins and they go on to another Super Bowl. We said this. Both legacies are cement. These are future Hall of Famers. We know that. But Brady talked about the significance for him in this game.
I think everyone understands the significance. It's very difficult to get to this point to be, 4 of 32. So I think we're all, excited for it, but certainly understand we have a lot of prep to go. We're going to take every minute up to kickoff to get ready to go.
You buying the Bucs getting an opportunity to play the Super Bowl in their own stadium?
Well, I mean, if you go earlier in the season, although as we now know, Packers offensive line had some issues, but the Bucs just got after Aaron Rodgers, and after the lead, all of a sudden all hell broke loose, and then it wasn't a matter of any of their secondary trying to match up with Devontae Adams because Aaron Rodgers couldn't get the ball out. If they can protect him, if the weather is a factor. I mean, you know, Brady obviously has played in cold weather in New England, but it just, to me, it's how do you stop Devontae Adams? And they're, and like, Matt LaFleur's no dummy. They're going to move him around in the pocket. They're going to do what Aaron Rodgers does best. You know, I mean, you got a great running back. And then Tampa Bay, is Ronald Jones going to step up? Is Fournette maybe going to be the X factor in this game too? Godwin dropped some passes throughout the playoffs, and, you know, Mike Evans still has a gimpy knee. So all this stuff comes into play. I'm still going with the Pack.
Vita Vea has been cleared to play for the Buccaneers.
That's big, too.
Big nose guard, so he will be available Sunday. Real quick, Gary Kubiak retires, 36 years in the NFL, player, coach, Super Bowl winner. We wish him the best. That was from Minnesota because he was there. And then former Falcons offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter is also calling it a career. Dirk 61, and we wish Dirk the best. We didn't necessarily like all the play calling here, but it's not personal, it's business. And on a personal level, we wish him nothing but the best as he calls it a career as well. All right, coming up, Terry Fontenot, general manager of our Atlanta Falcons, joined Andy and Randy. You'll hear it next. It is Dukes and Bell. We will continue our conversation coming up in less than 15 minutes with Braves outfielder, former Braves outfielder, Andrew Jones, one of the best to do it, and continue our conversation about the passing of Henry Aaron today here on the show. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And also, we're going to talk to Brian Jordan coming up at 4 o'clock, so stay tuned. Right now, we want you to hear Terry Fontenot, who joined Andy and Randy earlier today. Terry Fontenot spent 17 years with the Saints, scout ascending to VP, assistant general manager of pro personnel, and now he is the Falcons general manager. And as this news was evolving today about Henry Aaron and Andy and Randy were reacting, it's the first thing they asked Terry Fontenot when he came on.
That's horrible. I was just I've been kind of running around today, and I wasn't aware of it until just a few minutes ago. But that's horrible. It's sad. And look, you remember, it's cool to remember how great he was, but guys, it's tough. It's a tough day.
Yeah, I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that. Didn't, you know, obviously that's a difficult thing just to sort of go off the cuff on. What has the last week been like for you? I have to imagine this has been a pretty momentous week in your life.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's pretty overwhelming in a good way, just about how welcoming everyone is in Atlanta, not just really not just with the team or the organization, but even just being in the, you know, we stayed right in the city, and just being around, like, people were really welcoming. And so that's been exciting. That's been fun. And, you know, I'm the type of person that I just kind of want to find my office and get set up with my equipment and kind of get to work, you know? But it's been overwhelming in a good way.
Terry, again, congratulations and welcome to Atlanta, brother. How do you and Arthur go about starting to build this team? Because like before, you guys have never worked together. I just saw a picture. It seemed like you guys just finally met face-to-face and all those things. So what's the next thing for you two, you and Coach Smith, to get together and try to – what's the first thing on your agenda to start building this football team?
Yeah, so the main thing is just what you're saying. It's building the staff and getting that right. So that's occupying a lot of Arthur's time right now. Going through that process of interviewing the coaches and getting with the people he's already hired, and so that's the first step. And then the next step I would say is once we get everybody in the building, is getting together, and it's really self-assessment. It's really getting together and evaluating this roster and really getting down to the details of what we have here in the building, because until you can set your roadmap or set your plan for how you're going to move forward, be it free agency, be it the draft, how you're going to move forward. First, you have to know what you have in house, and then set that expectation, and then move forward with how you're going to build the team. So I would say continuing to build the staff, making sure you have the right people on the bus, and then let's get together in the same room and spend a lot of time assessing this roster.
New Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And Terry, in you know, finding out the news that you had been hired as the general manager and reading about you a bit the last couple of days, I'm sure a lot of people know now that you spent your entire 18-year professional career with the New Orleans Saints. What's the hardest part about deciding to leave the one organization that you had worked your whole life for?
I think it's all about the people for me. It's about the people. It's about the people upstairs in the front office, on the business side, in the locker room, and that's what it's really about. And so it's those relationships and that you've developed and cultivated over that long period of time. But again, that's the thing that's so exciting. Like me and my family just walk around the facility, and we were down in the equipment room, and they had a bunch of stuff for my kids and the family. And there's so many good people, again, in this building, in this city. And so I'm excited about building these new relationships and getting to know another group of people. So I would say the difficult thing about leaving somewhere is the people. But the reason I'm really excited about coming here is because there's a lot of good people here that I'm excited about getting to know and working with.
As you and Coach Smith are what we call, the co-team builders and all those things, I think the Senior Bowl is coming up this week. Would this be an opportunity maybe for y'all to, you know, be able to look at players in the same light, say, this is what I like about this guy, but don't like about this guy?
No, definitely. Yeah, I think any, the Senior Bowl, as we go through the process of meeting on our roster, I know the Combine is going to be different, but no, in all the – avenues. And look, we have to determine if he's going to be there or not, because right now the most important thing for him is to get the staff where he wants it, and we don't, he's not going to rush that. You know, he's going to do the right things and go through the right process and make sure he gets the right people in this building. So that's most important for him right now. So but to answer your question, yeah, any opportunity for us to spend time together on this roster, again, Senior Bowl, Combine, all the different areas, us being aligned and being on the same page, not just me and Coach Smith, but but also each coordinator, each position coach, working with the scouts and the staff. It's really making sure everyone's aligned and everyone's communicating.
Terry, do you get a sense of how the decision was made that it would be you and Arthur Smith working together, given that you guys didn't have a previous relationship to this? I wonder, is there a conversation in the interview process about like who specifically you would want to work with as a head coach, or is it the type of head coach you would want to work with? Like, how does that happen for two guys that have never worked together before?
Yeah, that's a good question. And look, that's a big part of the interview process. You know, I interviewed with four teams, and three of them didn't have current head coaches. So a big part of the interview process is you talking about your head coaching list, your head coaching short list. And I think it's important not just to – because, look, we have really good head coaching candidates New Orleans has good head coaching candidates in the building. So I talked about those guys, and there's other people in other buildings that I have previous relationships with. But I think what it's important to do is don't just be a prisoner of your current environment and current network. Really go out and just like you're looking for players, go out and do all the work and get in the details and evaluate everything, evaluate the person. And so I did a lot of research on people that I didn't have previous relationships with. I did a lot of research on Arthur Smith and a number of other candidates. And so when you're going through this interview process, you're going to talk about the people that you like. You're going to talk about the strengths, the weaknesses, and just what you really like about those people. So, yes, I spoke very highly of Arthur Smith when I was going through the interview process. And I'm sure they asked him questions about general managers, and so that's a big part of that of that process. And just because, you know, because again, I didn't have a previous relationship with him, but I'm connected to so many people that did know him, and
right.
And I got to know him a lot really over the last few days particularly, but I couldn't be more excited about him and you know, our values, our core philosophies. And look, we want to do it the right way. And I think that's important, because that's how you have sustained success. When you build it the right way and you build off principles and you focus on makeup and you focus on getting the right people in the building, whether you're talking about coaches or scouts or players, and you do it the right way and you set the standard, that's how you build sustained success. So when we talk, we speak the same language, and it's going to be a great partnership.
Terry, when you were, because you were one of those hot, you know, the hot GM name and all those things, and I'm sure, and I don't want to put words in my mouth, but I'm kind of sure that you had your choice of jobs. What was it about this Falcons job in particular that just like, you know what, I want to be there?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it really is. For me, it's really about the people. And I already had an opinion on Arthur Blank and how he runs every one of his businesses. I had read his book, and so I knew the man he was, and not just from reading his book, but seeing how he operates, seeing what's important to him, seeing that he really cares about people and really wants to do things the right way. That's important. That's really important. So that speaks to me already. And then as soon as I got on the interview, and you know, the funny thing about it, even before I interviewed, I had been talking to other coaches and other guys that were interviewing. And they called me and said, "Hey, look, he's everything you expect Arthur Blank to be. That's who he is. Like, I know you have an opinion on him already, but he's everything you expect him to be in terms of the person." And I saw that right away. I got to spend a lot of time with him and you know, his sons and with Rich and everybody on that interview. But I really felt good about it right at that point. I said, this is a place that that I could definitely vision my place. I could see me working. I could see, obviously, in Atlanta, like, because you also, if you take the team aspect out of it, mm-hmm. it's important for your family, because this is where you want your family to grow up. This is where you want your right. kids to grow up and make their home. So that's an important part of it. A lot of people that I have a lot of people in the business that I was just talking to somebody earlier that is working for another team, and his family, his wife and kids still live here. You know, obviously a lot of players have made this their home, and so that's attractive. You know, this is a really good place to live and a good community to be in, a good place to raise your family. Like, there's so many choices of schools and areas to live. So that's a big part of it for me. So number one, Atlanta, my family living here, we were excited about that. And once I started meeting and the people in the building, starting with Arthur Blank, I knew this is a place that I would really like to work and like to raise my family in.
New Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And Terry, it's kind of the nature of the business that we're in. We spend a lot of time talking about things that teams don't have. And, you know, the Falcons were 4-12 last year, and a lot of the focus is on what needs to happen from here to build the roster out. I'm interested in, from your perspective, now that you've really started to dig into it, what's the best thing that you think this roster does have currently?
Yeah, and, you know, all due respect, I don't want to really get into that too much, you know, because, look, this is something that I do. Whenever we're all the other 31 teams, we're going to have our pro staff, and we're going to listen to every radio interview. We're going to read every transcript of every and we want to find those coaches and those GMs that are talking about their roster and saying what they need, because right. look, we're going to assess every team, and we're going to know what they need, and we're going to know where they feel like they're strong and where they feel like they're weak. We're going to do that. We're going to have our opinions, but it's interesting to hear that team's opinion, because then you can anticipate what they're going to do in free agency, what they're going to do in the draft, and that makes a difference in terms of what we're going to do. So I just don't want to be that person that's talking too much about his team. And I get it. I know you have to ask the question, but that's one of those areas where we have to work hard to keep everything internal, keep it close to the vest, and really take advantage of those teams that are talking too much about it.
Cool stuff there with, again, our brand new GM, Carl, as we said. I mean, I understand fans want to hear answers, but as he said there to Andy and Randy, not going to get too specific. They're continuing to evaluate, but I think we all know who the guys are you can bank on. Or
no doubt.
Maybe we don't know. You know, we think we know these guys are that good. New set of eyeballs on a program now.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun, and this is going to be a fun offseason to see where this team goes. All right. We've been spending a lot of time today, and rightfully so, talking about Henry Aaron. We're going to talk to one of the all-time best outfielders for the Braves. Andrew Jones joins us next. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday, and thanks for listening, guys. It's a different kind of Friday, obviously, with the passing of Henry Aaron. We're getting a lot of reaction from various folks that either were a part of the Braves organization, are part of the Braves organization and family, and from those around Major League Baseball. And our next guest, you know, got to be a part of a winning tradition in the 90s, unlike any other, with Andrew Jones, one of the best outfielders to ever do it, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And remember, Wade Ford is your Ford dealer. Andrew Jones, as we talk about Henry Aaron today, what's the first recollection, your first memory of Henry Aaron and when you got a chance to meet him?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's very sad in the Braves country. We lost a very icon, a legendary, a great human being of our sport. So it's sad, but my most memory moment for Hank Aaron is, you know, coming from an island, knowing what all that he went through, how he handled it, how he kept his head towards what he wanted to focus on, and that make me the person that I was through my career. So he inspired me through my career. You know, it's so much memory that, you know, we talked so much baseball before. I have traveled with him from Atlanta to Houston when I got my first Hank Aaron Award, and flew back with him, and we had great talk about baseball. So, you know, we not that I lost an icon of an expiring person that I look up to, I just lost a good friend too.
It is Andrew Jones with us here, guys, as we get reaction to the passing of Hank Aaron. That's an amazing story, man. I mean, you were such a young guy when you got your start. I mean, Hank was a young guy when he got his, and, you know, he played in the World Series. You were 19, and, I mean, all that pressure, is that stuff you talked about with Hank?
Man, I'm telling you, it's just, you know, I hear other people talk about, you know, I hear Chipper saying, you know, how he went through, how did he do it with, you know, going through all the hate mails, the racisms, everything that he went through, you know, to accomplish what all that he accomplished in the game and in his career as a human being. I'm sure, you know, his mom and dad was very proud of who he become and who the person he is.
Andrew, as we talk about just, you know, guys that help change not only the game but socially, I mean, you know, when you talk about Henry Aaron, you're talking about the social impact that he had not only on baseball but also by breaking the record. You know, sports has always done that, right? It brings us closer together as a society because we're all rooting for greatness, right? We're all wanting to see these great moments, and then when it happens, you know, for all the people that were like not wanting to see him break this record with 755, when he did it, it actually brought us closer together in the sense that so many people then, like a light clicked on, you know? It was like, okay, I get it. And sports does that in a unique way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, I think, you know, going way back, you know, Jackie Robinson, you know, breaking the barrier, get every color baseball player opportunity to play what they love to do or they dream about. So, you know, all these, Hank Aaron, you know, Frank Robinson, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey. I mean, all these great, you know, color baseball players that inspire all these, you know, African American, Latin American players to play this game that we all love. And, you know, we all come here and to play the baseball because we do have the highest baseball game in the world in United States of America. So to have that going through and bring everybody together and you know, sometimes the happy bring everybody together, the sad bring people together. So we just got to continue to embrace the game and be better person that we can be at every day that we around.
It is Andrew Jones with us, guys, here talking about the legacy of Hank Aaron on the WadeFord.com hotline. And Andrew, I know we've talked to you about it before, and you mentioned to start the interview, growing up in Curaçao. I mean, does today's generation of players have that connection and know what these guys did and the things they went through?
Well, you know, if we talk with them and they really want to know about it, they will know about it. To be honest with you, my son is 17 years old. He's the one that called me first and told me about Hank Aaron passed away. And, you know, he barely saw me play. So he know about Hank Aaron. So you see how iconic it is. And if we can pass the legend around, you know, through our kids, to our other kids, and to the kids' kids, the legend will not die. He will continue to be that person that he always been and what all that he went through his career.
He was around, I'm guessing, for spring training in those years, maybe those early years for you in the mid-90s. How often did you just talk to him, or did you get a chance to see him at spring training? I know Chipper was telling those stories. Do you have any of those?
I didn't see him much when I was going through the minor league. One person I saw the most was Willie Stargell. Mm-hmm. I saw him most because he was working with the Braves. But Hank Aaron was more up into the front office at the major league level. So I didn't get a chance to see him much. But, you know, when I made it, he was not that much around. He will come around when it's special occasion stuff, you know, throwing the first pitch. We all will be around him, you know, embrace him, you know, he's such an icon person. And when he come around, the whole room will bright out. So, you know, the respect that everybody had for him is just, it was just remarkable.
Yeah, Andrew Jones is with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. I know that you were here when we had the All-Star game in Atlanta last time. They're going to honor Hank Aaron. Could you imagine what that's going to be like? And what a great way to pay tribute to Hank Aaron coming up this summer.
Well, I mean, it's going to be – I'm looking forward for it. I think we talked about this probably last week, me and Chipper and Smoltz on some Braves radio. It's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be fun just having it in Atlanta, you know, since 2000, you know, and with all these superstars that we had on our team, it would be nothing better to have, you know, almost the whole Braves represent the National League All-Star Game at home, honor Hank Aaron.
We're going to talk to you down the road, Andrew, about this team and get your thoughts on maybe the Braves getting back to another NLCS. Today, we're remembering Henry Aaron, so we appreciate you so much for taking a few minutes with us today here on the program, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.